All right, welcome to the underground, a place to get into the word of God so the word of God can get into you. And who am I? Hey, I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Welcome to the underground. Can't hear me. Is it just, oh, no, I was just getting started, but y'all can hear me good. Let me know if you hear me good in the comment section. Before I get started. Okay, loud and clear. Good. Good, man. I hope everybody having a good week, and then I hope you had a good weekend and things like that. I'm just happy to be back here again, you know. Never know what a week may bring, you know. So we always got to be thankful and thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy, you know. Just things he overlooked. Things that he been patient with us on, things that we like the person in life, that movie, we just can't get right in certain areas, but God in his everlasting mercy just keep covering us, you know? And that's just a blessing to have that over our lives, that we have a God who just show us mercy and kindness and forgiveness. That's why it's so important sometimes just to try to forgive those who, you know, try to use you, or some people who try to talk down on you and hate on you and talk slander about you. I know it may be painful, and I understand that, and I know some people has hurt you in your past, and but you know, you want to get rid of that grudge. You want to get rid of that bitterness. You want to get rid of that hate. Because, hey, can you imagine God holding on to things that we have done? You know, just think about that. What if God was to just like say, you know what, I remember what you did when you was six. I remember what you did when your mama and your daddy was having a party and they told y'all to go in the back room, all y'all kids. Can you imagine God saying, I remember? You imagine God saying, like, hey, I remember that magazine you found when you was 12. Can you, and you 40 now, but God's still holding on to that. You like, God, come on now. That was a long time ago. But that's what I'm trying to say. We got to make sure that we forgiving people. We just like, okay, that's in the past. That's in the past. Can I say this? Listen, some of you, if you in your 30s or your 40s and you still mad at your first love, hey, you need to go to the altar. And you need to ask the priest to pour all over you. Why you haven't moved on yet? You need to ask God for forgiveness and ask him, hey, God, help me to forgive people I'm mad at. Help me forgive that teacher who flunked me. Help me to forgive that teacher who gave me an F. Help me to forgive the coach who cut me from the varsity team. Help me to forgive, you know? Help me to forgive that woman that I seen my ex-boyfriend. He liked her post. Help me to forgive her. Help me to stop having hate. Help me. You know, you gotta ask God to help you with those secret things. You got those secret hates. Help me, guys. You know, just every once in a while. When you get up in the morning, just say, help me. That'd be some of my prayers. Just help me. I don't even say too much to God. I just be like, help me. I'll be at work sometimes and I'll step away and go into the bathroom and just be like, help me. You know, so, and he does. He does. He tends to show me myself a lot and other people. And that's how I be like, okay, I got it. You know, and so when I see myself, I want mercy on my, I want patience when I see myself in other people. So I have to show that to those people. Or I have to show that to that individual. You see what I'm saying? So that you always want to make sure you see yourself in certain individuals, because at the end of the day, we are the creation of God. We are the creation of God, and I want you to know something. The person that you hate very much, or the person that you may have an issue with, God created them. Ain't that something? God created them. And he wants them to be in heaven. He wants them to be the person that you might hate, the politician that you might hate, the pastor that you might hate, that woman that you might hate, that man that you might hate, that kid that you might hate. You get what I'm saying? Because I understand teachers. I understand. I understand. You know, working, I understand why you may, you know, have some issues with some kids. Hey, but God want to see them in the kingdom. Let me get started with this word, though. I want to start off and I'm gonna be in different passages today because I want to tackle certain issues in life. By the way, I went to the prison yesterday and I to the woman's prison. Shout out to Dayton Prison Woman's Unit. Thank y'all for having me again. It was a blessing. I preached a message about you know, the man of God. And we talked to them about I had spoke to them about just what a man looks like. What does a man who's seeking God looks like? And man, let me tell you something. It was so many women that came up to me after that message, and some of them was in tears, some of them was just thankful because this is what I heard them say. Man, I never heard what a man was. Or they never heard, like, from the word of God, what he expects from a man. You know, they heard what their mama may say, what they expect from a man, or what their auntie said, or what their sister said. But, you know, they heard from the word of God what God is looking for from the man. And man, I think a lot of bondages was broken. I think a lot of disrespect for the man was broken yesterday. And I know that because the second service, listen to this, 70 women got baptized. 70 women got baptized. The mighty move of God. See, what I'm learning is if you just open up your mouth, whether it may hurt, whether it may offend, whether it may not be, you know, comfortable at the time, but preach the truth of God's word, man, there's going to be fruit from that. There's going to be fruit from that. And, you know, I was able to experience that yesterday. 70 women went down in the water. There was one lady, I was telling my wife, I was sitting down and, man, she got out of the line. And, you know, she got, you're not supposed to do that while you're in prison, you know, because you're supposed to stay in straight line. And in a prison guard was like, hey, get back in line. And she was coming up to me. I said, nah, she good, she good. And, you know, she had tears in her eyes. And she was an elderly lady. She was about in her 50s, I think. And she said, I want to thank you for preaching that message because I was married to a good man. She said, I was married to a good man, a godly man. But I had no idea on how to treat that man. And it's a lady, this lady who was in her 50s. You know what I'm saying? And so one of the things that I want to talk about today, and I pray that, you know, people can receive this with a graceful spirit, is you got to humble yourself before you can start learning. You have to humble yourself before you're able to get teached. And I was asking God, I was like, wow, God, I didn't think, you know, it would have been that reaction. He said, man, these women been in prison. They can't comb their hair like they want to comb their hair. They can't wear makeup like they want to wear makeup. You see, they can't get pretty like they want to get pretty. They don't feel like, you know what I'm saying, like a boss woman up in here. They humbled. They at the lowest of the low. Their spirit has been humbled. So that's why they're receiving. And I say, well, okay. He said, that's why they're able to hear you. Most of the times, you know, people's heads are in the clouds. And so it's hard to hear. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and then I start at verse 18, it says this: the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. You understand this message that we preach when we open up the word? It is foolish to most people who are on the road to destruction, who already made up their mind that they don't need no instructions from the Bible. It's foolish to them. The wisdom of God is foolish to majority of people all days. And if you're not careful, and if you have like a prideful spirit, I can say something to you right now as I preach the word of God, and you can like ignore it because it sounds foolish to you. But I want you to hear what God got to say about that. But we are being saved. Know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. See, there's people who think they're wise. There's people who think they're intelligent. I want you to know God is going to destroy that. He destroys it with the message of the foolish cross. The message that you think is foolish, he's going to destroy your wisdom with it. The cross is still the most intelligent message that we can, if we look at it and understand what that was when it happened and what it's still doing for many of souls today, man, it's the most wisest thing that ever happened in our society, that happened in our time of that we're living. You can learn almost anything that you can learn from YouTube, from Yahoo, from Google, from any university. But if you don't get the message of the cross, what really did you gain? The message of the cross. And at the end of the day, that's the message that God is trying to get us to understand. So as I'm saying, what you saying, getting a degree from college or getting a degree from school is not worthy or is foolish? Of course not. I'm not saying that. But if your foundation of your wisdom is not built on the cross, hey, at the end of the day, it's going to be vain, my brother or my sister. It's the message of the cross will give you wisdom on how to use that education. It's the message of the cross that would give you wisdom on how to use that knowledge that you're getting in your universities. You check this out. You're getting certain knowledge and wisdom right now that's having you on the road to destruction. Let me say that again. There's certain knowledge and wisdom that some of you guys out there in the world is getting from prestigious schools that has you on the road to destruction. Some of you are paying $80,000 a year to go to a university, $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year to go to a university to be put on a road to destruction. But you look at the cross or you look at the Bible as foolish. That's why God is going to disregard your wisdom. Because you have become so arrogant, you have become so high and mighty because of degree or because of certain wisdom that you disregard the message of the cross. Oh, man, that's arrogant. Hey, then he says in verse 20, so where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars?
in the world, brilliant debaters. Don't you see that all the time? Scroll down your timeline. Scroll down your page. All you see is philosopher these days. People got new techniques. They got new knowledge. They got new wisdom. A whole bunch of philosophers. Scholars. Whole bunch of scholars. Brilliant debaters, and I love that he said that because they are. They very brilliant debaters. Very. I can say something when I hear it, I'm like, wow, man, God has really blessed these people with brilliant minds. The way they can, relay certain information and talk about certain things. But what about the message of the cross? It says God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. See, we cannot, our minds can't comprehend who he is. See, you can debate all day, but you still can't debate who he is. You can be a brilliant scholar all day, but you still can't figure out who he is. You can read all the books, you can read all the literature that you want, but we still don't have the mind. Our minds, and I don't care. You can have you can have an Einstein mind, Albert Einstein. You can have that type of mind, right? You know what I be saying? We be saying that, but I don't know if he was smart or not. They just tell us that, but I ain't know the dude. We don't know if he was all that smart. So let me stop saying that. I don't know. Did y'all know if he was, they tell us that in school, like Albert Einstein. I'm like, but how I know he was smart? Probably was foolish. He probably rejected the cross. So I don't know that. But you can have a brilliant mind and all those type of things, but it still can't comprehend and understand who God is like that. A full understanding. We cannot grasp it. You can have a mind like the dude on what was the movie that I like this movie, The Accountant. You can have a mind like him and write on a board and figure out all the stuff. And I mean, you just brilliant with numbers, right? But the cross will still make your wisdom look foolish. You can be smart like Steve Urkel from Family Matters, but the cross will make it look foolish. Always examine yourself. I don't, especially if you're a believer, you got to be careful examining and putting yourself up to worldly standards. Always examine yourself to the cross. Always examine yourself to God. It'll keep you humble. It will keep you so humble. It will really keep you on your face, to be honest with you. You know? So when you start examining yourself next to this person and examine yourself with this person and how she is and how he is, yeah, it's easy to, examine yourself with foolish people of mankind. You know, we ain't nothing but worm food. But when you examine yourself up next to God and the cross, it just keeps you humble. And so then it says, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. He always just be screaming and yelling and all that. What's all that for? It ain't nothing but just yelling and foolish. But it's getting people saved. It's getting people baptized. It's getting people, you know, turning to God and repenting. Just preaching. That's all. Just preaching the word. Don't got to debate with you. Don't got to sound brilliant. Don't have to sound too clever to you. Oh, I see. That's why. That's when I love what Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and 14. I love what he said. He said, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You know, hey, you know, God still loves the preacher. I know we got our music and it's popping these days. I know we got our Christian music, Christian rap, and I'm all for it. But let me tell you, it's still the preaching of the word of God that gets people saved up. We got our concerts and they look good and I'm happy for it. And I hope y'all keep doing bigger and bigger concerts and more people coming together and worship God. But I want you to know it is the preaching, the preaching, the preaching of God's word that gets people saved. It's the preaching. It's not us getting up there with couches and water and we sitting on the couch like we interviewing people. That's cute. That's cute. And I get it. And you know, I may want to be on one day. But it's the preaching of God's word that gets people saved. That's what he chose to do. See, but our wisdom and our cleverness and our brilliant ideas, we starting to think, oh, we can do it this way. Oh, we can get them saved this way. Maybe if we do this and do that, and maybe if we, you know, bring some swings in the church, and maybe if we bring a pool and we put it on the stage and we let people do diving boards and we make people do, you know, a jump from the ceiling and do, I don't know, just we doing a lot of things, but God say, hey, just preach the word. Just preach the word. I seen bring in the cappers and bring in the steppers. We can have people stepping in the church now. That may get them saved. And, you know, bring rappers in. That may get them saved. And bring the matter of fact, what if we bring a stripper pole and, you know, let the dancers feel comfortable? That may get them saved, right? Yeah, bring a stripper pole in there and let the strippers strip so they can feel welcome, right? Because we want to accept everybody. God say, preach the word. So I want to encourage my preachers out there. I know it's tough. I know sometimes you may feel like, but you know, that's old fashioned, or, you know, people may not want to hear all that. But what does God want to hear? He wants to hear his preacher preach. Let me say that again. God wants to hear his preacher preach, Jeremiah. If you study those prophets of the days, hey, they had to deal with that. You know, a lot of people didn't want to hear what they had to say. Because you got God's wisdom, then you got worldly wisdom. That's what we're fighting against right now. That's the task right now. You got worldly wisdom saying, hey, this is how you can get people saved. This is how you can, you know, get people. Worldly wisdom. They you know, they examine, they philosophers, they've been studying. So they are saying, hey, do this and do that. And hey, make this like that. And you want to pull them in and you want to draw them in. You want to all that type of stuff. But the word of God is telling me, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? God has sent to this world preachers. Can I say that again? God has sent to this world preachers. He has built up preachers to go preach. And so, preacher, don't get outside your lane. Don't make the world speed you up. They want to go fast, tell them to go around you. I'm going to drive my speed limit. Go around me. Yeah, I'm going 60 right now. Go around me. And when you go around me, I'm not even going to look at you when you pass me by. You ever be driving? And I know that person wants you to look at them so they can look at you crazy. I don't even look at them. I make them even more madder because I know they wanted me to look at them. I'm not going to give you that. Go around me. So I'm telling this to my preachers right now because I see preachers need courage. You don't have to have a clever, speech. Matter of fact, I got a word. You know what? God did give me a scripture for that. Where is that at? Because sometimes we want to sound clever and all those type of things. Man, you don't got to sound like that. Hold on, right quick. Let me look up the God just gave me this verse and it just popped in my head, so I'm gonna look it up. Thank y'all for taking y'all time. I mean, making me take my time. Okay, here you go, right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I think I'm going to, let me see. It says this, look what it said. It says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to y'all, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. You see what I'm saying? For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I'm not trying to impress you with lofty words. Truth be told, I don't even know how to, most of these words. These English words, I don't know how to use big words. Truth be told, if you ask me to spell them, I probably don't know how to spell them. But I know how to preach. And that's what I'm telling you, preacher. Hey, get off TED Talk. Get off ABC News. Get off, all these little worldly platforms and interviews and all that. Get back in the pulpit and just preach that gospel. Hey, you'll start feeling so confident. This is why we're losing our, ooh, thank you, God. See, wow, man, the Holy Spirit coming now. Listen, when a basketball player get out the gym, he start you losing confidence in his game. You see what I'm saying? So when he in the game, he really don't shoot like he want to shoot because he hasn't been in the gym. He hasn't been in it. He hasn't been in it. You know what I'm saying? You got to spend time in certain things. Like somebody who go to the gym. You know who confident in the gym. You know it. You know what I'm saying? They not just sitting there looking at the weights and trying to figure out how it works. You can tell, oh, they not confident. They don't come that much. But that's what I'm trying to tell you about preachers. Y'all been so busy in on interviews, at news conferences, at concerts and this. Just get in the pulpit and you'll get your confidence back. And so when you get in the pulpit, you confident to shoot whatever you need to shoot. You don't care who holding. You don't care who in the crowd. You go shoot. Why? Because you've been in the pulpit. You've been preaching. Preach the word. Just preach. And guess what? I promise you, man, you'll start seeing fruit. And when you see fruit, guess what that's going to make you? Even more confident. You see what I'm saying? That, hey, it's going to make you like, okay. You know? Yeah, the devil going to try to come and, you know, play mental games with you and all that type of stuff until you need to do this. And, you know, you're going to have, that comes with it. You feel me? But, nah, just preach the word. Hey, let me keep reading this though. He said in verse 3, I want to read verse 2 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, again, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. I'm just trying to tell you very plain. For I decided that while I was with you, I will forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. Okay? Hey, preacher, the main focus of our preaching, you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not, you can relay it to people in certain parables and all those type of things, but it must always point back to Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected. That's the good news. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what saves people. That's what saves people. The gospel. And then it says, I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. Absolutely. I know it. I know it can be trembling when you get in front of people and preach the word. I know it can be, you can feel timid. You know what I'm saying? And my message and my preaching were very plain. That's why the Holy Spirit have me on here sometimes saying the most craziest things, because I'm trying to make it very plain for you. See, that's why God, he came at the philosophers and the great debaters and all those, real. Sometimes they make things so deep, you really don't, you'd be like, wow, but you don't have no understanding of it. You shaking your head like, I hear you, but do you understand it? See, we as preachers need to give you the word of God that helps you grow in the word. We need you to understand what you are hearing so you can take it home to apply it. The best teachers are those who can teach the message while they at school, right? And then when they go home, the student understand it, and when they can do it on their own. Oh my God, that was Holy Spirit talk. You hear me? So the fourth grade teacher, she's teaching math to a fourth grader, but she's teaching it so good. When that fourth grade student goes home, he don't even ask his mama for help because he gets it. That's the great teacher. And I'm telling you, a great preacher is somebody who preached the words to you, and you go home and you begin to apply the word to your life. That's the preacher. He simplified it for you. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this week, but you was having trouble with it. You got so frustrated with it, you just closed up the Bible and say, God help me. But when you went to church, or when you heard the preacher preaching it, because guess what? He been sent. Oh my God, bring it back around, Holy Spirit. See, because he been sent. I want to put a comma right there. If you haven't been sent, sit down. Everybody, hey, put a comma right there. We're gonna come back to that one. But it says, and I came to you in weakness, and it said, and my message and my preaching were very plain, rather than using clever and persuasive speeches. See, worldly wisdom, persuade them to come to church. You got to persuade them, and you have to draw them in. You have to, ooze them in the church. You got to make them feel welcome. You got to make them feel good. That's that persuasive stuff he's talking about. The gospel is going to persuade you. I can't persuade you to repent to a holy God. I don't have that much power and authority. I can't persuade you to stop fornication. I can't persuade you to come up out of that homosexual relationship. I can't persuade you to put down a crack pipe. Ain't no man or woman in the world have that much power. If that was the case, the jails would be empty. The health clinics will be empty. So there's nothing human can do to persuade people to change and repent and come back to a holy God. Guess what does do that, though? The gospel. I know we want something else. I know. I get it. I know it may be outdated to some of y'all. And the only reason it has become outdated to some of y'all, because some of y'all too brilliant now. You got too wise now. You did a couple of studies of the brain. You know, I study the brain, and there's a part in your brain, if you test the neurologist and you click it, it's gonna show up and it's gonna make every okay. Are you insane? I mean, that's cool and everything, but are you insane? I don't know about the nerve. I don't know about none of that stuff. You know, I'll be seeing these. I'll be like, wow, they're kind of smart. But are they insane? Have they repented? You see what I'm saying? Hey, check this out. And then it said, listen, rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, preacher, listen to this. I rely only on the power of the Holy Spirit. When I get behind a pulpit, preacher, I'm not relying on how clever I may sound to them. I'm not relying on how nice I may sound to them. I want to sound loving. I'm not relying on that. This is how I talk. If you don't like the way, I can't rely on that. Some people may like the way you talk. Some may say you need to do this more. Some may say you need to do that more. Some may say you need to tone that down. Some may say, well, you need to be a little louder. I can't rely on that. You know what I got to rely on, preacher? The power of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because that's what's going to convict the hearts of the people. That's what's going to convict the heart of the holy people. That's who draws them in. Not your production. Okay? Worship is good. Let me say this. So worship is very good for the service. Very good. And I mean, you can have CC Wines, BB Wines, Yolanda Adams, who else? Who else are good? I mean, Marvin Sapp. You can have all of them up there, but if they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you just looking at a good concert. You just looking at a good concert. Let me give you a stamp. Yeah, so you can come back into the concert when you leave out. Cause that's where you at. Hey, check this out. It can be packed out. Church can be packed out every Sunday, but if they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you're just looking at another motivational speaker. That's another TED talk. We just in cathedrals. So that's what we rely on, preacher. We rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't even put confidence in our studying like that. We study the word, don't get me, but we're not putting confidence on how much I know. Because as Paul said, hey, for Christ, I forget it all. Because Paul was somebody who knew. Do you hear me? He was the Hebrews of the Hebrews. The Pharisees of the Pharisees, he knew the law, but he caught it all. He said, I call that dumb for the knowledge of Christ. What it is to know Christ is to know the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't put confidence in these things. I don't put confidence how elegant I may sound to you. I don't put confidence on how sophisticated I may look on a pulpit to you. I don't put confidence in it. I don't put confidence, hey, preacher, I don't put confidence on hearing people say amen. Do you hear me? I don't put confidence, because check this out. The cross was that was so powerful. Jesus did not hear not one thing, not one word of amen, not one word of praise when he was on the cross, but he kept preaching when he was on that cross. He kept preaching so much, he said, it is finished. He didn't get no applause when he was on that cross. He didn't get no people coming up to him, dropping money on the stage. He didn't get nobody coming up to him saying, hey, good crucifixion, brother. That was such a deep crucifixion, powerful crucifixion, brother. Nah. But he kept preaching when he was on the cross. By the way, to my preacher, I want you to know this. Your best message will always come in silence. Yeah, your best message go always come from off the stage, by the way. Let me say that again. Your best message is always going to come when you off the stage, preacher. So never lust for the stage as much, you know. Nah, it's cool, you know. It's all right, whatever. But never lust for it, you know what I'm saying? Nah. You're just getting in front of people who waiting to see you fall, kind of, most of the time. Oh, so anyway, check this out. I did this when he said, I rely only on the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Preacher, we always want to bring back the glory to the power of God. We always want to bring back the glory to the power of God. Now, let's go to Numbers chapter 17 so we can understand. Well, what? How do we know if he a preacher? How do we know she a preacher? How do we know they've been sent by God? How do we know he been sent by God? How do we know he been sent by God? Well, number 17, I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I read this a couple of mornings ago, and man, I got so happy when I read this. You ever get revelation in the Word of God and it just makes you excited? Man. So this is, now if you read Numbers 16, you'll see there were some haters that arrived in the camp and they was like, who called you Moses and Aaron to be the leaders? We don't think God just called you. You know, that was going on in Numbers chapter 16. That was the issue. And so God kind of got mad that they was coming at his chosen vessels like that, his chosen servants like that, right? Because God choose people to be in certain areas and, you know, leaders and things like that. You may not like the leader, but God chose him to be the leader. Can I say that again? You may not like the leader. You may not think he was qualified, but God did. You may not think she was qualified. You may not think she deserved it. You may not think she didn't work her butt off to get that, or she don't know got what it take. He don't know what it is. He don't have the right heart. But God thought they did. So that was going on in Numbers chapter 16. Some of the Israelites, they thought Aaron and Moses was not supposed to be the ones leading probably. They was like, you know, so there was a rebels. There was a people who rose up against them. Hey, can I say this to some of you future leaders? There may be some people who want to come against you. Are you going to be able to stand? How do you feel when people or rebelling against you? Everybody may not say a great word. Everybody not may like your ministry in the future. Everybody may not think you're anointed like that, called like that. Can you still stand? Can you still be joyful? Can you still preach the word in those seasons? Moses and Aaron still had to stand during that particular time. And these are people, hey, check this out. These are people that they helped deliver from Exodus. Now, I can see if it was strangers that came against me. But people that I preached to and that I led throughout the wilderness and, you know, they seen me do signs and wonders, they coming against me now? I know that had to hurt Moses and Aaron. Yeah, I watched some of them grow. They was little when we came out of Exodus. Now they coming against me? That's what Moses was dealing with. You feel me? And so in Numbers chapter 17, this is where we're going to start out in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, look who God talking to. Still talking to Moses. So I want you to get confident and feel confident that, hey, when people coming up against you, God's still talking to you, though. Yeah, people may say certain things and people may not believe, or people may, you know, have, you know, a little side and all that type of stuff and say little slick things. But hey, are you listening to God? Because he's still talking to you. And he said, tell the people of Israel to bring you 12 wooden staffs, one from each leader of Israel, ancestry tribes, and inscribe each leader's name on his staff. Verse 3, it said, inscribes Aaron's name on the staff of the tribe of Levi, for there must be one staff for the leader of each ancestry tribe. So God, you know, they all got 12 wooden staffs. And God said, I want you to put each name on each staff for the leader. Okay, got it. Place these staffs in the tabernacle in front of the ark containing the tablets of the covenant where I meet with you. So it says in verse 5, buds will sprout on the staff belonging to the man I choose. Then I will finally put an end to the people's complaining against you. So Moses gave the instructions to the people of Israel. Hey, real quick, in verse 6, Moses gave the instructions to the people of Israel. Though people may hate you, God may still want you to instruct them. See, that's what a mature Christian, that's what a mature believer got to step in. Though they talk about you, though you know they may not like you, what if God asks you to go bless them, though? You got to be able to stand in that. What if God go ask you to, hey, I want you to sow a seed into that person? The one who been gossiping about you? Yeah. Can you sow a seed into her? Yeah, she going through some sickness right now, and she needs some doctor, you know, some probably some funds to go to the doctor. I want you to pay that for. What? Yeah. Moses had to still go give instructions to the same people who was rebelling against him, who wanted him out of leadership. But it sounds like somebody I know. Who you talking about? Well, it sounds like a God who came down from heaven, who came to save the same people who crucified him. He came to save the same people who threw stones at him. He came to deliver the same people who plucked out his beard, whooped him 39 times with stripes, put a spear through his side, spit on him, hit him in his face, lied on him. Yeah, so Moses, I mean, yeah, you was a pitcher. You was a pitcher. Thank you for being there. So anyways, in verse 6, so Moses gave the instructions to the people of Israel. Hey, this is a word for somebody. You got to bless that person still. I don't know who I'm talking to. Or I don't know who I'm talking to in the future. God, you still got to bless that sister. You still got to bless that brother. You still got to encourage that sister. You need to still encourage. Hey, why you ain't send those verses no more? Why you ain't call them no more? Why you not locking their picture no more? What happened? Why you not hearting they? Why you not sharing their stuff no more? Why you not encouraging them no more? God say, I still want you to bless them. Well, why I got to do that, God? Because I did it. If you want to be Christ-like, sometimes you got to do stuff like Christ. We forget that. We say we want to be like Christ-like, but forget to do the things Christ did. Come on now. Tell somebody and say Christ-like. Okay, anyways, verse 6. So Moses gave the instructions to the people of Israel, and each of the 12 tribal leaders, including Aaron, brought Moses a staff. You know, obedient. Moses placed the staff in the Lord's presence in the tabernacle of the covenant. When he went into the tabernacle of the covenant the next day, he found that Aaron's staff represented the tribe of Levi, had sprouted, budded, blossomed, and produced white almonds. Here's how you know they have been chosen by God. Oh, I love it when God showed me this. First of all, it says the buds will sprout. When they seen the staff of Aaron's, it said it had buds on it that sprouted. Now, when you look up sprout, and it contains to what they was talking about in this particular passage, it's a plant. A sprout is a new growth or bud, such as a leaf that appears on a plant. It produces new growth. This is how you know she or he has been sent by God. It produces new growth. When they come around, there's newness to the life. They bring a new way of thinking. They bring a new situation. They bring a new outlook on life. They bring new energy. They bring new finances. This is how you know they've been sent by God. They have a sprouting up spirit. Everything in them begins to sprout up. Everything around them begins to sprout up. This is how you know God has chosen them. This is how you know God has chosen them to do a work. Number two, it said it budded. That's what the staff did. It had budded, right? Budded means it set forth or put forth buds or to begin growth. So they have a vision to put forth something. They are calling something to life. They're casting out vision. They're putting people into a purpose for a new thing, for a thing in the future. They're giving people purpose for a future thing. There's a little bud. You really can't see it right now, but it's bubbling. You get what I'm saying? You see a little growth right there. They budding. That was on Aaron's staff. That's how you know he was chosen by God. They sprout up, they bud up, and then they blossom. We all know what blossom mean. They begin to blossom. It says it becomes more attractive. See, when the flowers begin to blossom, you start to see it so clearly. The colors start to look, it looks vibrant. It's such a vibrant thing. You get what I'm saying? It's such a vibrant thing. It's more, the flower becomes, it's not a bud anymore, but now it's a full-grown flower. Now it looks confident. It's standing up straight. That's how you know they've been chosen by God. They life look like it's blossoming. They ministry look like it's blossoming. They marriage look like it's blossoming. The finances look like it's blossoming. Even though the kids crazy and bad, when they out in public, they look like they blossoming too. The dog look like it. You ever seen they dog just look healthy? You come into their house, the house look blossom. You see their car, these things look blossom. That's how you know they've been chosen by God. That's how you know they've been sent by God. Now, do they have little seasons of, setbacks or have hard season? But guess what? You ain't gonna know it. Why? Because it just looked like they blossoming. That's what it looks like. And then they produce. It said it produce. When you looked at its bud, it produce. It always produces things after its own. A preacher, when a woman of God or a man of God, it when people around them, they produce something just like they sell. They produce more disciples. They produce more Christians. They produce more people who want to do this for God. They produce more people for the kingdom of God. They producers of the kingdom. That's how you know they've been sent. Sprouted. That was on Aaron's staff. Budded. That was on Aaron's staff. Blossom, that was on Aaron's staff. And produce ripe almonds. Remember that. This is how you know people are sent. Producers of the kingdom. I'm gonna ask you to reevaluate yourself real quick. I'm finna hit you in your chest real quick, okay? But this is for you so you can self-evaluate. Check yourself. The people around you, are you being producers of the kingdom? When people do people, are you motivating people to get started for the kingdom? Are you motivating people just to enjoy the world? You got to be producers. This is how you know you're sent by God. So check this out. Let me read verse 9. When Moses brought all the staffs out from the Lord's presence, he showed them to the people. The people going to be able to see it too. Oh my God. Your life is going to be able to show that you're a producer of the kingdom. Your staff is going to be able to show, this is what I do. No, I just don't talk this. This is what I do, sis. Now I don't just go to church on Sundays, baby. This is what I do. I'm a producer of this. My catalog. See, a R&B singer, he got catalogs of R&B songs. Why? Because that's what he do. He produce hits. A producer. When you look at his computer, that you're going to see a whole bunch of produced songs because that's what he do. Well, if you're a disciple of God, shouldn't you be producing the kingdom? I'm trying to make it plain, as Paul said. I'm just trying to make it plain. This is what I do. I produce. Well, where your Grammy at? I'll get that when I go to heaven. And when I do get that Grammy, which is a crown, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw it right back at his feet. The word. But anyways, keep on moving and grooving. Some of y'all are like, what do you mean by throw it back? And that's the word. That's why I try to tell you, I got to get in the word, baby. Yeah, get in the word. Tell somebody, say, get in the word. Get in the word. Get in the word. You know, sometimes you, you say certain things. This, hey, let me shout out to all my leaders real quick and everybody here on the underground. You want to know somebody and they say something real slick while you talking. And if they be like, what you mean by that? You'll know if they're in the word or not. Say it like a quick little verse or something. One of the verses I always use, I always be like, man, I can't cast my pearls before the swine. They be like, what you mean by pig feet? I'd be like, never mind. Let me go. Let me move along for them. They don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Proverbs. They talking about pig feet. But anyways, let me keep moving and grooving. It's the pig. What you mean about the three little pigs? Don't worry about it. Let me just pray for you real quick. Nah, I'm just messing with y'all. But when Moses brought all the staffs out from the Lord's presence, he showed them to the people. Each man claimed his own staff. And the Lord said to Moses, look at this. Place Aaron's staff permanently before the Ark of the Covenant to serve as a warning to the rebels. This is permanently, y'all. This is something that we can look at all the time to see if hey, is I'm in the king, is I'm producing? Do I have new growth? Even if you can't see new growth, if you can't see it, is it budding? Is it right there? Do I feel something coming on? You gotta feel it sometime. Like I say, every time it's not gonna be blossom all the time. It takes time for that. But is it budding a little bit? You gotta have a little bit of it, you know? Because you know, God say all you gotta do is have a mustard seed. Y'all gotta at least have a mustard seed if you're a believer. Where's your mustard seed? And that's the smallest of them all. Where's your mustard seed at? Where's your mustard seed faith at? He didn't even ask for much. So I'm gonna encourage y'all tonight. Put your mustard seed in the ground. Well, how is it gonna grow? Hey, some plant, some water, but guess what? It's gonna grow because who gives the increase? God, that's the word. Some of y'all was about to say, my income taxes, you get in your word. Some of y'all waiting on an increase for the when your income tax, that's what you call an increase. Where's your faith at? That is not when you get your increase when the income tax is coming on. Now, granted, it does help. So somebody say it does help. You know, and some of us is like, okay, I can't wait to get because I gotta give me some new couches and all that. But look, it helped, but that is not our source. All right. Now, we talked about that. We talked about that. Now, I'm gonna end off on this. Again, I was at the prison yesterday and was talking to the women about what a man is. You get what I'm saying? Like I said, man, they were so encouraged. Tons of them came up to me and was like, I've never heard what a man of God is. I never heard what God expects for me. And I was just like, wow. So what God was telling me is like, you know, sometimes you may want to teach these things so people can just know, right? Because one of the things that I'm learning, and as I listen and as people ask me to pray for them, a lot of women want to get married. Okay? A lot of people want to get married, right? And so if that's what we're wanting, you need to find out how to get hired. Okay, this mate, I listen. I'm gonna be. I'm just trying to help. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not gonna try to be mean. I'm not trying to be nothing like that. And I'm hearing this a lot from people. I'm serious. Like I'm hearing it. I'm reading about it. God is talking to me about it, and he's saying, "Help your sisters out." And I say, "Yes, sir." You see what I'm saying? Because what's happening right now. Because there's a lot of Jezebel spirits, what happens is we have a lot of Ahab guys or Ahab spirits out there that's not being truthful. And we got to let people know and we got to let our sisters know what it's going to take to get hired. Because I want you to get the job. I, out of all people, want my sisters to get the job. But just like the woman's in the prison says, hey, they never knew these type of things. I'm under the mindset, and I truly believe this. Our parents, maybe your mom, maybe not they haven't taught, really instilled these things into some of my sisters out there. That's what I believe. And I understand that. So what we have to do, first of all, as women and men. Well, sometimes when we trying to get this thing in order, we gotta humble ourselves. That mean I can come up under the teaching of the man of God or the woman of God who has been sent, right? Because I'm gonna examine if they've been sent by what I just taught you. That's how you examine if that man of God or woman of God has been sent. They're gonna produce those type of fruits, right? So If I believe that, now I got to be humble enough to hear what they have to say through the Spirit of God. I know it's not coming from them, it's coming from the Spirit of God, right? So, right now, in the society that we live in, number one thing that God was telling me, and I was just trying to make sure those who are trying to get married, because here's the thing, women, I got to be honest with you. When I talk to guys in the church, or when guys are talking to me, they not asking me to pray about them getting married. I don't know why, but they not saying, "Hey, pray for me that I can get married." So I don't know. It's not on pretty much on their minds that like that, but I see that it's on the women mind. And I'm saying, okay, what do we got to do so we can get that in, th we can get their attention? Because hey, if you in the right spirit, in the right situation, and you're carrying yourself that certain way, I promise you, you'll get their attention. First thing first, we got to humble ourselves. Okay? We gotta start humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves. Hey, I know you a boss chick. I promise you, I know you a boss chick. I get it. Okay? I know you got your own house, you got your own car, you got your own cat, you got your own food, you got your own tuna, you got your own tuna can, you got your own tuna opener, you got your own Tide, you got your own couch, you got your own candle, you got your own everything you got, and you own it. I get it, I promise you, and I love it. But you can't, you know, that spirit, it's coming up out of it, and it's very unattractive sometimes. Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Typically, they don't care about degrees. They don't care about your education like that. Okay. So what you're saying, first of all, what I'm saying is listen before you get your attitude. Second of all, I just playing. Second of all, what I'm saying is listen, that get your degrees and all that, but I just want you to know that's not what get a man. That's not what get a man. We a man, the quiet a quiet spirit. And one must be humble sometimes to be quiet. Help me do this in love, Heavenly Father. Okay. Man, because I'm telling you, I'm seeing like it's starting to really be on my heart a lot. What's been on your heart a lot? How many women want to get married? Pray for me, brother, that God sent. Pray for me, Pastor, that God. Pray for me. Pray for me. I mean, I'm like, wow, okay, God, this is it's an epidemic. But I'm saying my sisters, I don't. As an early age, we're not trained. They didn't train y'all to, become wives. You have a system that's training you to be independent. And independent means on your own. And I think that's what you're going to be if you don't, humble yourself. Okay? I'm not trying to be okay. Let me keep moving. Okay. Help me, God. You ever go to a dealership and the car salesman, he's walking you around and all those type of things, and he shows you to a certain car, and you get in it, and when you get in it, you can automatically tell that it's been used. Right? And it's not that it's not a nice car, right?
It's not that it's not a nice car, and it's not that you'll buy it. But if you can tell that it's been used so much, it'll make you say, "Can you show me some more cars?" Okay, so what I'm trying to say, woman of God, women out there, you gotta start setting yourself apart sometimes in life. Because what happens is, I'm telling you, when you get in a used car, you see that it's been automatic. You don't even have to tell. The person with a low IQ can tell, oh, this is a used car. You can tell just by the seats. There's a certain smell to it. There's a certain aura to it. You get what I'm saying? You can see little stains here and there. You feel what I'm saying? And again, doesn't mean it doesn't look nice on the outside. But because it's been used, it may come with what? Some problems. You know, it may cut on. You don't know if the check engine light go come on or not. Why? Because it's been drove a lot. It's been used. Now, I believe that there's good mechanics out there, which is called the Holy Spirit, that if you let it work on you, man, it'll make you brand new. You see what I'm saying? Now, listen to what I'm trying to tell you, because there's the same thing that when you're at the dealership and you walking around and you get into a car that's never been used. You can tell. There's a certain smell to the new. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain smell to it. And then at the same time, who doesn't just want a new car? It don't have no mileage on it. I know it may cost a little more, but it's new and it smell good. And the tire's new, the seats look better. It don't got no stains on it, and ain't nobody drove it. What am I saying, my sisters? We have to start, especially our younger women, right? Training them to, hey, blessed is those who set themselves apart. You see, you got to have a mystery about yourself. It says you can tell the holy from the common. You don't want to have a common type of, experience. Every common person has had you. No, you don't want that. The bus driver, common bus driver, they know you. The trash man, they know, The stalker, Set you have to start setting yourself apart for a certain season. That may mean, hey, I know he nice and when you lonely, he may take you out to eat and all those type of things, but hey, you're making yourself common. It takes time to get holy. It takes sanctification to be set apart. It takes separation to be set apart. Yes, increase. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm trying to. That's yes. There's value when you're like having been used like that. And I'm talking spiritual right now because everybody in here, y'all know how we was when we raised up. I'm not. Because I don't want you to think I'm coming at you guys about that. Oh, I messed up. No, we all have did that. I'm just trying to let you know in the spirit what happens when we give ourselves out like that. If we know that in the spirit, if we know that in the flesh, that's what's happening in the spirit, man. Our tires, they look thin now, So when that person, when that man is looking, he like, well, wait a minute, how much that is? What? I'm 5,000, man. I'm not finna pay that. Not trying to be he. There's no, he don't see the value. That he doesn't see the value yet. But go ahead and give it a light shine or something. Go ahead and start buffing it a little bit. Go ahead and put some new tires on it a little bit. Go ahead and Febreze it. Go ahead and go, clean the seats off a little bit. Get them stains. Get that cigarillo smoke up out of the car and let it start smelling like new car or something. And then when you turn it, you go take it for a test drive. You're like, what kind of car is that? What kind of car that is? I'm just telling you. I know you want to get married to him. Is there any, secret when y'all get married? How do you absolutely is there any secrets in it? You done showed him all your tricks, and you just the us. Oh my God. So when y'all get married, there ain't no, nothing. It's just you done showed him everything in the first 4 months. So what does he have to look for after he put the ring on? Silly rabbit tricks off of kids. You gotta have them. What I'm saying is, hey, you think I'm? Let me see. What that verse said? Let me see. I'm almost done, y'all. Go to Genesis chapter 29. Because I'm going to show you Jacob, he worked. I'm trying to figure. Hey, Jacob said, I worked 7 years for that. You get what I'm saying? All he took you out is to Buffalo Wild Wings. That's it. I'm you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying, and here's the thing, to each of his own, but I'm saying you gotta have, there's a chase to it. I know some of the fellas like, God, nah, he giving up all. Nah, I'm just trying to help our sisters out for real because they want to get married. But look, you see what I'm saying? Hey, so Jacob, look, after Jacob had stayed with Laban for about a month, it don't take him, listen here, it don't take him long to recognize. They looking. They just trying to, you know what I'm saying? See where you at. So he been staying for them about a month, right? Laban said to him, you shouldn't work for me without pay just because we relatives. That's true, by the way. Don't be giving your time out for free. This is for just people, believers. Just because you're a believer, don't be letting people use you for free. They out, everybody out, violent. Hey, get your money with your little smart self. You need to get, because you got so much gift, believer. Stop giving people your gifts for free. You got too much, just talent in you. But look, check this out. It says, for me without pay, just because we are relative. Tell me how much your wages should be. Now, Laban had two daughters. The older daughter was named Leah, and the younger one was Rachel. There was no sparkle in Leah's eyes. So we see he like you what I when I when he says no spark, just a little life. There's got to be a little life in you. When you walk in a room, there's a spark about you. When you speak, there's a spark about you. When you dress, there's a spark about you. Hey, ladies, if you're looking for a husband, listen to what I'm saying. You are presenting yourself every day, by the way. You don't have off days. When you go to HEB, why you got your bonnet on? Why you got pajamas on? You may see, yeah, every day you gotta be on it because that's what you want. You're not just running in a store. You got to start embodying it. Hey, I want to be a wife. This is how I'm gonna carry myself. I have a mustard seed of faith that I want to be a wife, so I'm gonna start presenting myself like that. So no, I'm not gonna just walk in a store with some hoochie shorts on. Because if they see hoochie shorts, guess what they coming to get? A hoochie. Welcome to Hoochie Burger. May I take your order? I don't under we gotta understand it. Listen, when y'all wear all this lustful stuff and lustful bodies and lustful curves and y'all showing it, what do you think you're gonna attract? Lust. Guarantee you think I'm lying? Ask any of your brothers or ask any of your uncles, hey, Unc, when the last time you ever lust after a Muslim woman? You know, the ones who be wearing all those long, when the last, man, we don't be, hey, I bet you won't find no dude. Ain't no dude talking about, man, I can't wait to get one of the Muslims. I'm gonna lift that long skirt up and see what they got. They not worried about that because there's no lust coming from that. I'm just telling you that there has to, you know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you. So anyways, but Rachel had a beautiful, oh, yeah, I'm finna read. Okay. There was no spark in Leah's eyes, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. What? Oh, Jacob, he said, I want Rachel. Now, when we talk about lovely face, to each of his own. I'm not here sitting up and talking about this is beautiful and all that. But come on, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You gotta be on point with your face every day. You don't get no time to be off. That's what Jacob was, and he said, I like that. Ooh, she got a pretty face and a nice figure. Hey, different man like different figures, by the way. But I'm saying, you get what I'm saying? Hey, make sure that's on point. You know, hey, some man out there, can I get, let's be real, some man out there, they like feet. Get your heels done. Get your toes. You know that. You know that. I don't understand this. We know these type of things. If you look, these things matter when a man is looking at you. These things matter. I know you want them to just say, I fell in love with their heart. That's a lie. That, I'm telling you, that's a lie. We ain't fall in love with your heart first. Just like Jay, he said, oh, I like her figure. And I like her face. You see what I'm saying? So these are the things if you want to attract a man, if you want to attract a husband, you know what I'm saying? You want somebody. See, here's the thing. You're wanting somebody to commit to you for life. Can I ask you something? What is he committing to? What is he getting for life? You have to be confident in that. You have to be sure in that. You have to let, you know what I'm saying? There has to be a certain spark about you that he know. I see one, like my wife, I knew. I listen, we were sitting on the couch and she was playing a guitar because my wife plays the guitar. And she was sitting on the couch. She had her ponytail in. I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday. And man, I was sitting on one couch. She was sitting on a couch way on the other side. And it was just the spark. I say, oh, yeah. I say, oh, yeah. I say, and I say, in my private time, because I was, you know, I was in some mess. I'm just being, I was in some mess. She was in some mess too. Don't let her fool you. But you know what I'm saying? But I said, God, I want to work to marry that woman. Straight up. Straight up. But you know what I'm saying? But she was already, you know what I'm saying, she was set apart. You know, you could tell she had a relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? I can smell that it wasn't no drama around her. You know, listen here, ladies. We can tell when you got, you know, a lot of stuff going on. We can tell when you got this dude taking you out. You got this dude paying your phone bill. You got this dude breaking your subway. You got this dude paying your rent. We know. We just play along because we just trying to hit. Uh-oh, my bad. I shouldn't have said it. My bad. I shouldn't have said it. But I'm telling you, exactly. And that's what I knew I was gonna get when I was looking at her playing that guitar and she was worshiping in the spirit and she was speaking in tongues. I say, whatever that is, I want that. See, I wasn't in the spirit at the time, but I was like, ooh, what is this? It put some spark in my life. Now you see I'm on the underground. Got me serving God like a mug. That's what I'm trying to ask you. If he get with you, is he gonna serve God? Or is he gonna be serving Baal? Cause some of y'all get with a husband and he at the same strip club you at. I don't understand that. How he get with you and marry you, and y'all just two devils now. That's what I'm trying to tell you, woman of God. Oh, let me keep on reading. Look. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he was in love with her. Hey, where the can't keep his mind on nothing now. Son is back on his best friend when he was alone. Hey, I'm telling you, every fella in here can contest what I'm talking about. It ain't nothing like when we in love with them. Yeah, you'll know it. You won't have to ask. You think he love me? Girl, you gonna know it when he in love with you. You gonna know it when he in love with you. He with you. What you mean? I'm finna put my boy Corey on blast. Morgan, what you mean? He love you, trust me. Yes. Teresa, he love you. He with you. What you they with you. That's how you know. That's how you know. That's how you know. They with you. We not all, you know, okay, we not all in our feelings like that. We not talking about, oh my God, I just love the way your hair flows and I love the way you talk. And no, we just with you. We there because we want to be with you. That's how you know. It's the pr yes, it's we there, the presence. So hey, sis, I may finna pop a bubble real quick. Where's he at? Where's he at? You asking, hey, what you think about, but where's he at? Where was he at on Thanksgiving? Was he stuck at his auntie house? You better tell somebody, say he better stop now. Huh? Was he stuck? Man, I'm still over here. Really? I'm trying to get over there real quick, but I'm gonna try to make it. Really? You will know. And let me go ahead and talk to you soft so you can. I understand it hurts when you invested so much time and you invested so much energy. I understand. But if you're looking for somebody to marry you, sometimes you got to cut things loose so you can open up the door for that. You know? Okay. You sometimes you got to clear the way. Sometimes you got to clear the way. You want a new couch, but are you going to throw the old couch away? You know, you got to throw that old couch. You know, you can get somebody to help you move it. The Holy Spirit can help you move it. You just ask them. Okay? Okay, let me keep reading. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Tell somebody, say, he almost done. So he said, since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father,
I work for you for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife. Listen, he will work on it. They work at it. It may not be easy, but you're working at it. Y'all may have disagreements, but you're working at it. You may get on his nerves, but you're working at it. They may, may be some issues working at it. Listen here, my wife and she had to work with me. I didn't have no social security card. She had to work with me. I was off the grid. I was off the grid. So there had to be a work. There has to be, there has to be some give and take. Some of y'all expecting this knight in shining armor to just come out the way and come and just pick you up and put you on a white horse. Some of y'all can't even ride the horse. What are you talking about? Have you ever rode the horse? Come on now. You may have to work. It may have to be some work. But I'm telling you may have to work. A man will work for it, man. Hey, that's how you know he like you, man. That's how you know, hey, he's serious about you. He ain't give up on the first argument. When you hung up the phone just to see if he was gonna call you back, did he call back? Okay then, what you tripping about? All right. Okay, listen. 1 Timothy 2:9, likewise, all that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel. Respectable apparel. Hey, I'm trying to be a wife, so wherever I go, I'm gonna wear respectable apparel, but I'm going to the gym. Respectable apparel. I'm just going to the store. Respectable apparel. I'm going to Miami to the beach for my girlfriend. Respectable apparel. I'm going to church, please. Respectable apparel. I know I'm just trying to say certain things because you see what I'm saying? Yes, so hey, there may be some stores because this is what you want. You may have to leave some things alone. You may have to leave Rainbow alone, sister. You may have to leave those things, not because, well, what about living your best life? What about you? What about your body? What about your mind? What about you? Who you is, girl? Wear what you want. Do what you want. Well, be alone. You see, yeah, just because I'm trying to tell you, we don't want that. We don't want that. If we see you in there, we want some, quickie with you, probably, maybe. But yeah, we ain't trying to do all that with you, marry you, nah. Respectable apparel with modest and self-control. Okay. Okay, one more thing. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Sis, why you waiting on your husband? Why you waiting for that man? You know what I'm saying? Hey, what? How you using your body? Have the hood been with the temple? Have the bloods been with the temple? Have you been passed around with the Crips with the temple? I'm telling you, because we know that. We know them type of things, man. All right. But I believe so much, man. Yeah, very much, man. Self-control is very important. And because self-control can get you in certain situations that you have been out of, but because you are lacking self-control, you back in the cycle again. I don't really wanna go. I don't really wanna stay. All I really wanna know, can we get it together? That's the cycle you in. Can we? Because you don't have self-control. That's what your emotions telling you. But all you gotta do is have self-control and you'll be done with it. You'll be done with it. Ask God for supernatural self-control and he'll give it to you. I promise you. I told you if you start asking God about specific things, he'll start revealing to you how ugly that person is. I'm telling you, you'll probably start smelling them. You'll be like, oh, they stink. I thought, oh, they really stink. He smell like, oh, he smells sweet. I don't like that. So, always self-control, my sisters. You see what I'm saying? But what am I saying? All these things is just a little things to get you guys on that path to what you're asking for. You gotta, I want you to start conducting yourself like a wife. Not saying that you're not. Not saying that you're not. I was just trying to give you a little extra motivation. Okay? Just the extra, you know, boom, you know, keep on being on that path, okay? Because again, I hear that a lot of y'all want it, but I'm just not seeing the spirit behind it. I'm not seeing the submissiveness behind it. Are you ready for a man to lead you? Are you ready to be submitted to a man? These are things that I'm telling you. It's going to take a lot of you checking yourself, self-evaluating yourself, coming up under the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit purge you of certain mindsets that you got, certain mindsets that your mama gave you, your auntie gave you, the reality TV shows that gave you, the songs that gave you. You going to have to, this is going to take some time. Or if you're looking for an Ahab man, just tell God that. And there's a lot of them out there. Go ahead and get you an Ahab. You know, he let Jezebel do whatever she wants. So if that's what you want, get you an Ahab. But understand, it says he done so much wicked in the eyes of the Lord that it burned. And he had God so angry because the way he let just Jezebel just run all loose. Okay. Now, and last but not least, listen here, sister. Listen, okay, you can't, you know, you when you was a girlfriend or when you was out there, you know, you was a freak, right? But now when you get married, you know, well, I'm tired. My head hurt. My feet hurt. My fingernail hurt. My ear hurt. I didn't. I'd be like, what? Wait a minute. You know, my front teeth hurt tonight. So can we, what you mean? I done heard stories, man. I ain't slept with my wife in 8 months. What in the, what? I don't understand this stuff, man. Listen, come on. Come on. Tell somebody and say, come on. These are things you got to think about when you get a husband. Because guess what? That's what he going to want. Now, all of a sudden, he putting the ring on. And, you know, like I say, you know, your middle finger hurt. And, you know. I've been with the baby out. Okay, but now it's time to be with me, you know? My kneecap. I'm about to go for y'all, give me a trip. I'm not about to play with y'all. Welcome to the underground place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground place to get into the word so the word of God can get it to you. Who am I? I am just a voice. I ain't no relationship coach. I ain't no therapist coach. I ain't none of that. I'm just the voice. And I'm just calling out in the wilderness of America. And I'm telling all my sisters out there, if you want to get a husband, hey, repent and stop playing. Stop playing.
and get up under God's, you know, teaching and, you know, figure out how to be a wife. How to be a wife. You're not trying to be no partner. That's another thing. You ain't trying to be a partner. You trying to be a wife. Well, I'm just looking for a partner where we could share everything. I want to share bread. I want to share mayonnaise. I want to share the mustard. I think we should be 50-50 on the wings. And I want him to pay that bill and I pay. You trying to be a wife or a partner? Which one? If you're trying to be a partner, stay single and just date. But if you're trying to be a wife, get up under the mighty hand of God and let him teach you. Anyways, I appreciate y'all coming out, man. I wasn't trying to give y'all this whole buffet. I was just trying to give y'all a salad bar, but I hope you got food. Take you to go plate, send it to your people, and let them eat it. I love y'all, and I hope y'all live long. I'm out.